Welcome back to Behind the Scams. I'm your host, Nick Henley. And as always, I'm joined by my partner in crime fighting and in life, my co-host, Sue Henley. Today, we are pulling back the curtain on a global operation that sounds like a Hollywood thriller, but it is very, very real. Sue, we've seen a lot in our time, but the files we're looking at today, the Tai Chang files, they're on a different level.
They absolutely are, Nick. It's a narrative that starts with a simple phone call and ends with a global law enforcement takedown.
It starts exactly like this. Picture this. It's a Tuesday afternoon, July 2025. Okay, your phone rings and you look down and it's a number you recognize. It's your daughter, right? So you pick up and before you can even say hello, you hear her screaming. I mean, she is absolutely hysterical.
Oh, wow. That is so frightening, Nick.
Yeah. She's hyperventilating. She's sobbing, just trying to force the words out. And she tells you she's been in a horrific car accident. She's been detained by the police, and she urgently needs $15,000 for bail. Or she is going straight to county lockup.
I mean, the adrenaline spike in that exact moment is completely paralyzing. It bypasses every rational center of your brain, right? It taps directly into, like, the most primal biological instinct a human being possesses, the need to protect your child.
And that is exactly what happened to a Florida woman named Sharon. The panic just took over completely. She didn't pause to ask probing questions. She didn't, you know, hang up and try to call her daughter's husband.
Of course not. You're in pure survival mode. Right. She simply asked where to send the money, and she wired the $15,000 immediately. And when she was interviewed later, she looked the reporter dead in the eye and said, "There is nobody that could convince me that it wasn't her. I know my daughter's cry."
The tragedy there is the absolute certainty, because she did know her daughter's cry. She just didn't know she was listening to a mathematically generated approximation of it.
Exactly, because her daughter was perfectly fine. She was sitting safely in her apartment, completely unaware of the drama unfolding. She hadn't been in a crash. She wasn't talking to the police.
Sharon had just wired her life savings to a phantom.
To a complete phantom. The hyper-realistic voice, the gasping for air, the specific cadence of her daughter's panic. It was a synthetic clone.
Wow.
Generated by an artificial intelligence model that had likely been trained on just, maybe, 3 to 5 seconds of audio scraped from a public TikTok or Instagram video her daughter had posted months prior.
We are crossing a terrifying threshold here. The foundational tools we use to navigate reality, our eyes, our ears, our innate ability to recognize the people we love, they're being actively weaponized against us by automated systems. Which brings us to the massive stack of documents you sent us to analyze for today's deep dive.
Yeah, there is a lot to get through today.
There really is. Looking at the files you provided, we are officially calling this the Tai Chang files. This investigation, spearheaded by the FBI's San Diego field office, uncovered an elaborate network of cryptocurrency fraud, money laundering, and human trafficking. We're talking about the recovery of billions with a B, billions of dollars in illicit proceeds.
Yeah, Nick, the sheer volume of evidence in this case is staggering.
It's massive. We've been analyzing threat assessments that were wild to read, by the way. And we need to make something crystal clear. If you were sitting there thinking this is just another story about some lone wolf hacker, you need to recalibrate your expectations immediately. Immediately! Because these files map out a narrative that bleeds out of the digital shadows and violently erupts into the physical world. To understand the stakes, we just need to look at the macroeconomic impact. In 2024, American citizens lost at least $10 billion to these syndicates.
$10 billion. That's just, it's hard to even fathom.
It is. And by 2025, Chainalysis confirmed that global cryptocurrency scams and fraud hit an all-time record of $17 billion. That staggering number isn't just a statistic, it's a wealth transfer on a massive scale, completely bypassing traditional banking security.
So let's really pull the mechanics of this apart. How do you convince thousands of educated, rational people to willingly hand over their life savings?
The criminal underworld refers to this methodology as pig butchering, or in Mandarin, sha zu pan.
Pig butchering. It's so dark. But it perfectly encapsulates the psychological mechanics. It's not a quick hit. It's a slow, methodical, deeply intimate, long con. The victim is the pig, and the scammers spend weeks or even months fattening the victim up with engineered affection, before finally leading them to the slaughter. So let's break down that cultivation phase, because reading through the chat logs in these FBI affidavits, the patience the scammers exhibit is chilling.
It's incredible discipline.
They don't start with a high-pressure sales pitch. The initial contact is engineered to feel like serendipity. Just a happy accident, right? You might get a text message saying, "Hey, are we still on for golf on Thursday, or is this the dog groomer?"
And when you politely reply, "Sorry, you have the wrong number," they don't let the hook go.
No, they apologize. They pivot gracefully. They might say, "Oh, I'm so embarrassed, but you seem very polite. It's nice to meet someone kind on the internet." They are probing for loneliness. They are looking for engagement.
Any kind of opening.
Yeah, it can happen via wrong numbers. Dating apps like Tinder or Hinge, or even professional networking sites like LinkedIn. And then the grooming begins in earnest. They use incredibly sophisticated branching psychological scripts. They mirror your interests. They ask about your family. They become your digital confidant. In the files we reviewed for this episode, there's a case of a victim who communicated with a scammer every single day for 4 months before money was ever mentioned. 4 months of good morning texts, sharing photos of their meals, discussing their childhoods.
The victim stops interacting with a stranger and begins interacting with a trusted friend or romantic partner.
Right? And once that bedrock of trust is solidified, the scammer initiates the transition. But they don't ask the victim to wire the money directly. That would instantly trigger skepticism. Instead, the scammer subtly introduces the concept of their own wealth. They casually attribute their success to a specific cryptocurrency investment platform they've been using. They position themselves not as a salesperson, but as an insider sharing a golden ticket with someone they care about. And this is where the technical infrastructure of the deception really shines.
Yeah, that's right, Nick. Many of these fraudulent platforms go to great lengths to create an illusion of legitimacy. They'll have detailed FAQ sections, responsive email support, and testimonials. Some even generate fake withdrawal confirmations and real-time success stories.
You know what, Sue? I spent hours looking at the archive screenshots of these sites. If you navigate to these domains, you are not looking at some clunky 1990s-style phishing page. These interfaces are flawless. They feature sleek, modern user interface designs. They utilize two-factor authentication, which makes it feel incredibly secure.
Right. High-tech trickery. But the architecture beneath the surface is a complete closed-loop facade. Behind the scenes, nothing is connected to real financial markets. Every transaction, every return displayed, is fabricated by the platform's code.
Total smoke and mirrors. The moment the victim deposited that initial $1,000, it was instantly routed into a wallet controlled by the syndicate. The numbers on the screen are just manipulated code designed to trigger dopamine hits in the victim's brain.
And here is the mechanism that absolutely short-circuits human skepticism. The early withdrawal.
Yep, the scammer will actively encourage the victim to take their profits out. They'll say, "Hey, you made $200. Let's pull it out and you can take your wife to a nice dinner." And the platform actually lets the victim withdraw that $1,200 back to their real-world bank account.
So the psychological hook is set. The victim's brain processes a verifiable reality. I put money in, it grew, and I pulled it out. Therefore, the system is real. The risk is zero.
At that exact moment, the scammer shifts gears from passive affection to aggressive urgency. They start talking about a once-in-a-lifetime market window. They push the victim to maximize their leverage. They tell them to empty their 401k. They walk them through taking out a second mortgage on their home.
It's devastating. And by the time the victim deposits those massive sums, sometimes hundreds of thousands or even millions of dollars, the trap snaps shut. When the victim finally tries to withdraw it, the platform suddenly demands a 20% tax or security fee before the funds can be released.
But Sue, as we dig deeper into the court and case files related to this huge federal investigation, we hit a technological pivot point that is truly terrifying.
The AI element.
Yes, we are currently witnessing an explosive scaling of this crime due to generative AI. The blockchain data shows a horrifying AI multiplier effect. Scams that have on-chain links to AI vendor services extract an average of $3.2 million per operation.
Over 3 million!
Yeah! Compare that to traditional non-AI scams, where the average extraction is around $719,000. The integration of artificial intelligence is making these operations roughly 4.5 times more profitable.
It's an insane leap in efficiency. The integration of LLMs solves the fundamental bottleneck of the pig butchering industry: human attention span. Historically, a scammer could only juggle maybe 5 to 10 victims at a time. It requires immense cognitive load to remember the specific lies you told each person.
But an LLM doesn't have a cognitive load limit. A single scammer utilizing an AI interface can simultaneously manage dozens, if not hundreds, of distinct, contextually perfect conversations. And it completely eliminates the traditional red flags we've all been trained to look for. Think about the cybersecurity seminars we all had to take. Look for spelling errors. Look for weird syntax. The LLMs erase those tells completely. The AI generates personalized, emotionally resonant text in flawless English, French, or Japanese. It mimics tone perfectly.
There is a specific, almost surreal case study in the UN report regarding a young Kenyan man who was trafficked into a scam compound in Burma. The syndicate forced him to use ChatGPT to specifically target and impersonate individuals in the American agricultural sector.
I read that exact section. I had to read it 3 times to process the absurdity of it. You have a trafficked Kenyan man sitting in a militarized jungle compound, flawlessly impersonating a Texas cattle rancher to build rapport with an Alabama soybean producer. The AI acts as a cultural and linguistic bridge. The operator doesn't need to know ranching terminology. He simply prompts the AI: generate a sympathetic response to a farmer in Alabama complaining about late spring frost. Use Texas colloquialisms. And the AI instantly spits out an airtight illusion of shared experience. The technical infrastructure of this deception is where it really shines. The FBI affidavits list platforms like tickmellis.com or fortuneprimeglurts.com.
Many of these platforms go to great lengths to create an illusion of legitimacy. Detailed FAQ sections, responsive support, even real-time success stories popping up in the corner.
I spent hours looking at archived screenshots of these sites, Sue. If you navigate to these domains, you are not looking at some clunky phishing page. These interfaces are flawless, sleek, modern designs, two-factor authentication. It feels incredibly secure.
Right. High-tech trickery. But the architecture beneath the surface is a complete closed-loop facade. Every transaction, every return displayed is fabricated by code.
Total smoke and mirrors. The moment the victim deposited that initial $1,000, it was instantly routed into a wallet controlled by the syndicate. The numbers on the screen are just manipulated code designed to trigger dopamine hits.
And here is the mechanism that absolutely short-circuits human skepticism. The early withdrawal.
Yep, the scammer will actively encourage you to take your profits out. Hey, you made 200 bucks. Let's pull it out and you can take your wife to a nice dinner. And the platform actually lets the victim withdraw that $1,200 back to their real-world bank account. Now the hook is set. The victim's brain processes a verifiable reality. I put money in, it grew, and I pulled it out. The risk is zero. At that exact moment, the scammer shifts gears to aggressive urgency. They push you to maximize leverage. Empty the 401k. Take out a second mortgage on your home.
It's massive. We have been analyzing data from newly unsealed Department of Justice indictments and comprehensive threat assessments from the U.S.-China Economic and Security Review Commission, which were wild to read, by the way.
Oh, absolutely. Plus, incredibly, FBI affidavits, Treasury Department sanctioned designations, and cutting-edge blockchain forensic reports from firms like Chainalysis and TRM Labs.
And we need to make something crystal clear before we even pull back the first layer of this onion. If you were sitting there thinking this is just another story about some lone wolf hacker running amok and guessing passwords,
you need to recalibrate your expectations immediately.
Immediately, because the files you brought us map out a narrative that bleeds out of the digital shadows and violently erupts into the physical world. We are unpacking industrial-scale cryptocurrency fraud here. Frankly, the sheer scope of this case means there's no way we can do it justice in a single episode. So buckle up, because this is just the beginning of a story that demands careful, detailed unpacking.
Yep, we are dissecting state-sanctioned industrialized human trafficking, and we are tracking a global law enforcement takedown that seized billions, with a B, billions of dollars.
So consider this deep dive a forensic wake-up call for your own digital and financial survival. To understand the stakes, we just need to look at the macroeconomic impact detailed in those Treasury reports you flagged. Sue, the 2024 numbers?
Right. In 2024, the United States government estimated that American citizens lost at least $10 billion to Southeast Asia-based scam syndicates.
And by 2025, Chainalysis data confirmed that global cryptocurrency scams and fraud hit an all-time record of $17 billion. That staggering number isn't just a statistic. It's the culmination of countless individual stories of loss, often involving sophisticated cross-border syndicates operating with near impunity.
It's a wealth transfer on a massive scale, completely bypassing traditional banking security.
$17 billion vanishing into the air. So, let's really pull the mechanics of this apart. Before we look at the criminal masterminds running this empire, we have to establish the specific mechanism of the theft. Like, how do you convince thousands of educated, rational people to willingly hand over their life savings?
Well, the FBI classifies the core revenue generator of these syndicates as CIF, cryptocurrency investment fraud.
Right. But if we dive into the communications intercepted from the syndicates themselves, they use a much darker, much more visceral term for what they do.
Yeah. As I mentioned earlier, the criminal underworld simply refers to this methodology as pig butchering, or in Mandarin, sha zu pan.
Pig butchering. It's so dark. But it is such a common phrase in the scam world nowadays, because it's such a common scam around the world.
The terminology is intensely gruesome by design, and it perfectly encapsulates the psychological mechanics of the operation, because it's not a quick hit.
No, exactly. In a standard wire fraud or phishing scam, the attacker is essentially a digital pickpocket. They want to grab your wallet, drain your account, and disappear before you realize what happened. Pig butchering is a completely different beast. It is a slow, methodical, deeply intimate long con. The victim is the pig, and the scammers spend weeks or even months fattening the victim up. They use engineered affection, false companionship, and the intoxicating illusion of financial success. They build an entire alternate reality around the victim before finally leading them to the slaughter.
That's exactly it.
So let's break down that cultivation phase, because reading through the chat logs in these FBI affidavits, the patience the scammers exhibit is chilling. They don't start with a high-pressure sales pitch. The initial contact is engineered to feel like serendipity, just a happy accident, right? Now, Sue, this whole nightmare starts with an innocent text message. What's so ironic? You and I get these text messages all the time. You know the ones, like, hey, how are you this morning? Or are we still headed to do some shopping later? And of course, they come from a number you don't recognize.
And when you politely reply, sorry, you have the wrong number, they don't let the hook go.
No, they apologize. They pivot gracefully. They might say, oh, I'm so embarrassed, but you seem very polite. It's nice to meet someone kind on the internet. They are probing for loneliness. They are looking for engagement.
Exactly. And then the grooming begins in earnest. They use incredibly sophisticated branching psychological scripts. They mirror your interests. They ask about your family. They complain about their boss. They become your digital confidant. They build a completely fabricated, hyper-detailed persona.
In the files we reviewed for this episode, there's a case of a victim who communicated with a scammer every single day for 4 months before money was ever mentioned. 4 months of good morning texts, sharing photos of their meals, discussing their childhoods. The scammer even remembered the victim's favorite coffee order and would ask about it on rainy mornings. They traded stories about their families, and the scammer would send encouraging messages before stressful work meetings. On weekends, they'd swap photos of their hobbies, gardening for the victim, hiking for the scammer. The victim confided about personal struggles, and the scammer responded with empathy and advice, deepening the sense of trust and emotional intimacy. During that time, the scammer built up a persona as a successful entrepreneur, sending snapshots of their office, sharing anecdotes about business wins and losses. Not once did the conversation feel transactional or rushed. It was only after this prolonged period of nurturing, when the victim felt truly connected, that the scammer gently introduced a great investment opportunity, leveraging all the emotional capital they'd accumulated.
The mechanism at play here is the systematic dismantling of the victim's psychological defenses. By establishing a routine, intimate connection, the scammer bypasses the critical thinking centers of the brain. The victim stops interacting with the stranger and begins interacting with a trusted friend or romantic partner.
Right? And once that bedrock of trust is solidified, the scammer initiates the transition. But they don't ask the victim to wire the money directly, because that would instantly trigger the victim's skepticism. Instead, the scammer subtly introduces the concept of their own wealth. They might mention they just bought a new car, or they're planning a lavish vacation, and they casually attribute this success to a specific cryptocurrency investment platform they've been using. They position themselves not as a salesperson, but as an insider, sharing a golden ticket with someone they care about. They offer to guide you through the process step by step. And this is where the technical infrastructure of the deception really shines.
It's wild how good the tech is.
The FBI affidavits list several of these platforms' domains, like tickmellis.com or fortuneprimeglurts.com. Many of these fraudulent platforms go to great lengths to create an illusion of legitimacy. They'll have detailed FAQ sections, responsive email support, and testimonials supposedly written by satisfied investors. Some even generate fake withdrawal confirmations and real-time success stories that pop up in the corner of the site. It's a carefully orchestrated performance designed to lower the victim's guard at every step. You know what, Sue? I investigated high-tech crime during my law enforcement career. My investigations took place in the heart of Silicon Valley. So I have seen a lot when it comes to technology and consider myself well-versed. But when I analyze the websites used by these fraudsters, I was thoroughly impressed. These were professional and convincing websites, not just some quickly thrown together web junk, professionally done sites. If you navigate to these domains, you are not looking at some clunky 1990s style phishing page.
Not at all.
These interfaces are flawless. They feature sleek, modern user interface designs. They have live customer service chat widgets. They utilize two-factor authentication, which makes it feel incredibly secure.
Right. High-tech trickery.
Absolutely, Sue. They display scrolling tickers of real-time market data pulled from actual cryptocurrency exchanges. They are visually indistinguishable from legitimate Wall Street trading portals.
The visual legitimacy is crucial, but the architecture beneath the surface is a complete closed-loop facade. Every transaction, every return displayed, is fabricated by code, designed solely to keep the victim engaged and confident.
Yes, unfortunately, it is nothing but total smoke and mirrors.
When the victim creates an account and deposits their initial funds, say $1,000, they look at a dashboard that appears to show their money actively trading. They watch the numbers go up. The dashboard might show a 20% return in just 3 days. But that dashboard is essentially a video game. It's not connected to the actual blockchain or any legitimate market.
The moment the victim deposited that initial $1,000, it was instantly routed into a wallet controlled by the syndicate. The numbers on the screen are just manipulated code designed to trigger dopamine hits in the victim's brain.
And here is the mechanism that absolutely short-circuits human skepticism. It's the most destructive part of the entire playbook. The early withdrawal.
Yep, the early withdrawal. The scammer will actively encourage the victim to take their profits out. They'll say, "Hey, you made 200 bucks. Let's pull it out and you can take your wife to a nice dinner." And the platform actually lets the victim withdraw that $1,200 back to their real-world bank account. We cannot emphasize the importance of the early withdrawal hook enough. Once this psychological hook is set, the victim's brain processes a verifiable reality. I put money in, it grew, and I pulled it out. Therefore, the system is real. The risk is zero.
At that exact moment, the scammer shifts gears to aggressive urgency. They push the victim to maximize their leverage. They tell them to empty their 401k. They walk them through taking out a second mortgage on their home.
It's devastating. And by the time the victim deposits those massive sums, sometimes hundreds of thousands or even millions, the trap snaps shut. When they try to withdraw it, the platform suddenly demands a 20% tax or security fee.
Then there's an audit fee, then a cross-border fee. The syndicate bleeds them dry until they literally cannot borrow another cent. Only then does the website vanish. The friend blocks their number, and the victim is left staring into the financial abyss.
And Sue, you can only imagine how scary that financial abyss must look to the victims. But as we dig deeper into the court records relative to this investigation, we hit a technological pivot point that is truly terrifying.
That's right, Nick. It's the AI element.
Yes, we are currently witnessing an explosive scaling of this crime due to generative AI. The blockchain data shows a horrifying AI multiplier effect. Scams that have on-chain links to AI vendor services extract an average of $3.2 million per operation.
Over $3 million!
Yeah! Compare that to traditional non-AI scams, where the average extraction is around $719,000. The integration of artificial intelligence is making these operations roughly 4.5 times more profitable.
It's an insane leap in efficiency. The integration of LLMs solves the fundamental bottleneck of the pig butchering industry: human attention span. Historically, a scammer could only juggle maybe 5 to 10 victims at a time.
But an LLM doesn't have a cognitive load limit. A single scammer utilizing an AI interface can simultaneously manage dozens, if not hundreds, of distinct, contextually perfect conversations. and it completely eliminates the traditional red flags, like spelling errors or weird syntax.
Think about the Coinbase impersonation campaign led by Ronald Spector. This is a 23-year-old kid from Brooklyn who orchestrated a network that stole nearly $16 million.
But let's look at the mechanism. They identified the weakest link, the human element inside the company. They actively bribed a former customer service agent at Coinbase with $250,000. In exchange, that insider provided the proprietary data of nearly 70,000 customers.
So they didn't hack the blockchain. They hacked the payroll. They called these victims already knowing exactly how much crypto they held, and they used AI-enhanced scripts to convince users their accounts were under immediate cyber attack.
They created absolute panic.
Believing they were being rescued, the victims authorized the transfers themselves. It highlights a brutal reality. You can build the most mathematically impenetrable ledger, but if the attacker can socially engineer the human holding the keys, the technical safeguards are entirely irrelevant.
I want to introduce a metaphor here, because as I was reading through the files you provided, I kept trying to visualize the architecture of this crime.
Okay, let's hear it.
The whole setup, the months of psychological grooming, the flawless fake trading platforms, the AI-generated scripts perfectly tailored to your vulnerabilities. It operates exactly like a high-end, unregulated casino.
Oh, that's interesting. I like casinos, but I don't think I'd like this one.
Probably not. But when you walk into a casino, the house controls every single variable of your reality. They design the carpet to keep your eyes up. They pump in oxygen. There are no clocks on the walls. The environment is perfectly engineered down to the molecular level to separate you from your wealth while making you feel like you're having a good time.
The casino metaphor is highly accurate in terms of environmental control. But here is where it breaks down for me. If these syndicates are utilizing AI to manage hundreds of thousands of conversations 24 hours a day, who is actually sitting at the keyboards?
That is the million-dollar question. If the scripts are this perfect, who is physically manning the factory floor of this digital casino?
The answer requires a complete paradigm shift in how we understand cybercrime. When we peel back the technical layers of the Tai Chang files, we uncover the darkest, most horrifying secret of the entire global operation.
Yeah, this part of the court filings was genuinely tough to read.
The people sitting behind the keyboard, the individuals sending the heart emojis and running the ChatGPT prompts, they are not tech-savvy criminal masterminds. In the vast, overwhelming majority of cases, the person typing the messages is a hostage.
We have to actively force ourselves to stop looking at this purely as a digital fraud issue and recognize it for what it truly is, a severe industrial-scale human trafficking crisis.
Data from the United Nations estimates that over 100,000 individuals are currently being held against their will in scam compounds in Myanmar alone. That is the population of a mid-sized American city, enslaved in the jungle, forced to commit wire fraud.
And the mechanism they use to acquire that labor is an incredibly sophisticated, deeply deceptive recruitment trap. They don't just kidnap people off the street. They lure them in with the promise of economic mobility.
Let's look at the digital evidence the DOJ seized from the Pogo job hiring Telegram channel. It operated as a digital hunting ground. The syndicates acted like corporate recruiters, posting slick advertisements for high-paying tech support or data entry jobs in Thailand or the Philippines.
But if you analyze the requirements, the sinister intent is glaringly obvious. They weren't looking for coding skills. They requested applicants with fluent, idiomatic English or distinct American accents, because the target is Western wealth. They specifically solicited attractive young candidates, requiring photo and video submissions. Why? because they needed a steady stream of visual content to fuel the romantic grooming phase of the pig butchering scams.
And they required a strict willingness to work graveyard shifts. Because working the graveyard shift in Southeast Asia aligns perfectly with the daytime waking hours of victims in the US and Europe.
The mechanism of the trap is brilliant in its cruelty. These educated young people from India, Kenya, or Malaysia board flights to Bangkok expecting a high-rise corporate office. The deception is maintained until the moment they clear customs. They're met at the airport, told to hand over their passports for visa processing, and their freedom is extinguished. They're loaded into vans, driven for hours into rural border regions, and smuggled into heavily fortified scam compounds.
The physical reality of these compounds, I have to be honest, reading the survivor testimonies and the FBI affidavits was difficult. It turns your stomach. We are talking about facilities like Kiowat, Shunda Park, and KK Park.
These aren't just office buildings. They are self-contained cities surrounded by 10-foot walls topped with razor wire and patrolled by guards carrying assault rifles. Once these recruits are pushed through the gates, the corporate illusion evaporates entirely.
The psychological breaking of the worker is systematic. The moment they arrive, they are informed that they are in severe debt. The syndicates present them with an arbitrary ledger, claiming they owe $10,000 or $20,000 to cover their plane tickets and housing inside the compound.
This mechanism of debt bondage is the foundational control structure. They are told the only way to buy back their freedom is to meet strict daily financial quotas by scamming foreigners. And if they fail to meet those quotas, the punishments detailed in these files are medieval.
Workers are brutally beaten with baseball bats in front of the entire floor to set an example. There are multiple corroborated accounts of individuals being thrown from third-story balconies, resulting in shattered femurs and ribs.
They utilize a psychological torture method called darkroom confinement, hanging workers by their wrists in pitch-black, unventilated rooms for days at a time, without food or water. The intimidation tactics escalate to the most extreme violations imaginable. If a worker is deemed unproductive and their family cannot pay a ransom, the syndicates resort to explicit threats of organ harvesting. The message is clear. If you cannot generate value for the syndicate digitally, your physical body will be dismantled and sold for parts to recoup the loss.
It is vital that we strip away the anonymity of the syndicates and name the individuals orchestrating this violence.
Absolutely. In the unsealed DOJ indictments concerning the Shunda compound in Myanmar, federal prosecutors brought charges against two specific managers, Wang Xingshan and Zhang Wenxi. Kuang was a high-level operational manager. The affidavits describe him as an enforcer who took a hands-on approach. He didn't just order the violence. He personally participated in the physical torture of the trafficked workers.
And Zhang Wenxi operated as a team leader, supervising the workers tasked with targeting American citizens. There's a detail in the indictment regarding Zhang that perfectly illustrates the grotesque psychology of this operation. Under his direct supervision, one of the enslaved workers successfully manipulated an American victim into sending $3 million in a single scam.
$3 million!
And the criminal organization did not just quietly launder the money. They threw a massive party. They celebrated the extraction, holding that $3 million theft up as a paradigm of success for the rest of the compound to emulate.
It's an unbelievably insidious psychological weapon. They are physically torturing these workers on one hand, and on the other, they are dangling the promise of survival. They demonstrate that the only way to avoid the baseball bats or the dark room is to completely annihilate the financial life of a stranger halfway across the globe.
It creates an impossible moral singularity. The person ruining your life is fighting for their own.
I find myself struggling to process the sheer audacity of it. The scale is what breaks my brain.
I know what you mean. I understand a decentralized network of hackers, but I cannot comprehend how a massive physical concrete prison housing thousands of trafficked workers exists in 2026 without the local government rolling in and shutting them down.
Right? How are these massive industrial complexes hiding in plain sight?
They aren't hiding at all.
Exactly. The reason the local military doesn't roll in and shut them down is the crux of the entire geopolitical mechanism enabling this crisis. If you look closely at the territorial maps in the USCC reports, you realize that in many of these regions, the local military isn't acting as the police force trying to stop the crime.
The military is acting as the landlord collecting the rent.
That is a staggering reality.
We have to dive deep into the geopolitics of this region to understand the command and control structure, specifically focusing on the Karen state in Myanmar, also known as Burma.
The geopolitical context is absolutely critical, and that is exactly what we're going to start discussing in part two of this series. Sue, we are going to begin with, how are these massive industrialized fraud factories operating with total impunity?
That's certainly a good discussion for you, Nick, since you investigated money laundering cases during your career as a special agent with the federal government. It is right in your wheelhouse.
It is in my wheelhouse, and I can't wait to start that discussion. Next time on Behind the Scams, we're going to track the billions of dollars flowing out of these compounds and show you how global law enforcement is finally striking back. Make sure you are subscribed so you don't miss the conclusion of the Tai Chang files. Stay skeptical out there.
I can't wait either. Until then, bye for now.
We are working on part two right now and should have it ready real soon. See you then.